Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. Introducing today's message.
Okay, you should be in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. I want you to check your neighbor, make sure they're in the right place. Look on their iPad, their iPhone, make sure they've got the right app. Make sure they're not looking at the Mormon Bible. Make sure they, okay, here we go, we're good. Hebrews chapter 1. Beginning in verse 2, it's not on the overhead. It says this: God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets and in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he, Jesus, is the radiance of his glory, of God's glory. He is the exact representation of God's nature. And this Jesus, who looks like God, who has the same substance of God, who threw the whole universe into existence as God, this same Jesus, who bears the image of God the Father, it says this: he upholds all things by the word of his power. He upholds all things by the word of his power. Now, let me ask you something. If a being is that powerful that everything in the known cosmos is not only created by him and for him, but he holds it all together, how many know that's a pretty powerful being? In other words, everything in this world, everything in your body, everything in this solar system, in our galaxy, and in the 200 billion galaxies that make up our universe, he holds together. Did you know something, that when you start looking at the physics of how atoms hold together, that we really shouldn't be here today? In fact, the strong nuclear force and the weak nuclear force that cause an electron to revolve around a proton and a neutron and an atom, they actually should collapse and they should cave in on each other. Some reason they don't do it. They don't do it. There's something in the subatomic elements that keep those electrons orbiting around the atom that causes our molecules and our cells and our tissues to stay in place. If it wasn't for that something, we would collapse. This whole universe would disintegrate. And these astrophysicists, these quantum mechanic physicists, they call this thing the J factor. J factor. Why? Because there's something happening. They call it a quark. They can't quite explain it, but there's something happening below the subatomic perception that holds everything together. You see? Now, we could have saved them a lot of time and energy if we could have simply read the Bible to them. It says, Jesus holds all things together by the word of his power. That he holds everything together. The fact that the moon revolves around the earth and the earth revolves around the sun, all the things that stay together, everything is where it should be, is because Jesus is God and he sustains everything. That's an interesting word, sustain. Say sustain. In other words, sustain, what does that mean? It means a lot of things. It means that he upholds it. He nourishes it. He keeps it together. He monitors it. He manipulates it so it stays where it needs to stay. He is the sustainer of all things. That's what the Bible says here. And I want to talk to you about the all-sustaining power of God. Psalms 55:22 says this, is on the overhead. The psalmist said, cast your cares to the Lord. Why? Because he will sustain you. He, God, will never let the righteous be shaken. I tell you, that's a pretty good promise, isn't it? That God will sustain you. How many know if God can sustain the universe, if he can sustain the cells of our body, the atoms that compose our body, that he can take care of our needs, he can take care of our issues, he can take care of our life, that he can sustain us? It says that he will sustain you. He will take care of you. You know, we think, though, we think we have to sustain ourselves. We think that we have to take care of ourselves. I remember a couple of years ago, we periodically would fast in our church in Auckland, New Zealand, where I was pastoring. And the Lord told me, he said, I want you to go on a 21-day Daniel fast. That's going 21 days without reading the book of Daniel. No, 21-day Daniel fast is you don't eat meat or dairy or cheese or breads or anything like that. Sorry. So I went on this. We went on this 21-day Daniel fast. Then after the 21-day Daniel fast, the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to go on a 10-day water fast. Now, let me explain something about me. I really like food. Am I in good company? I really enjoy eating, you see. In fact, when I get to heaven, I'm going to really talk to God about this thing called fasting. Because I think it's his worst idea, actually. And I don't know why they call it fast, because it takes so long to do it, you know. It's slow. It's not fast at all. But I thought, well, I really want to eat, God. He goes, no, I want you to do this. And you know what? The first day, I was really hungry, and all of a sudden, God started ministering to me, and something strange started happening. After about 3 days, I started forgetting about food and thinking about his sustaining power. And all of a sudden, I had energy. There was something that I tapped into that wasn't about physical food going into my stomach and the nutrients feeding my body and giving me energy. There was something about spiritual energy that was coming into me. And I can tell you something. About the 10th day, I felt so good because I was being sustained not by natural food but by something in the spirit. And it's an amazing thing that when we get to the point where we say, God, I'm not saying don't eat, and I'm certainly saying don't not take care of yourself, but I am saying there is a spiritual power that can sustain you and I, that you and I, we can tap into when we're sensitive to God's promises. But what does he say to the psalmist? He says, I will sustain you, I will uphold you, I will take care of you, and I will never let the righteous be shaken. The word sustain, for those who'd like to know, it's on the overhead. It means to support, to bear up from below, to bear the weight of, to undergo, experience, or suffer injury, loss, etc., to endure without giving way or yielding. I like that. To endure without giving way or yielding, to keep a person, their mind, or their spirit from giving way. Notice what it says. This. It's not just physical sustenance. There's a physical sustenance we have when we take water and food. But he says there's also a sustenance you need, not just physically, but emotionally. There is a sustenance, ladies and gentlemen, that you need spiritually. So we have three realms we're talking about that God sustains us. He can sustain us in our physical bodies. He can sustain us in our emotional welfare, and he can sustain us in our spiritual welfare as well. So those three realms, God promises, I will sustain you. I will uphold you. I will support you from underneath, that you will not crash and burn if you look to me as your sustenance. Wow. That's a pretty good promise, isn't it? Yeah, what do? We're running around worried about where our next meal is going to come from, worried about if we're going to have enough money to pay for our cell phone, worried about this, worried about that, worried about, I'm anxious, I feel this pressure, I'm stressed out. And God is saying he will be your sustainer physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Psalms 89, 20 through 21 says this. He says, I found my David, my servant David, with my sacred oil, I have anointed him. My hand, says the Lord, my hand will sustain him. Surely my arm will strengthen him. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you've been alive long enough. There will come a time where you and I come to the end of our own natural strength. You'll come to a time where you'll come to the end of your own natural ingenuity or your cleverness to sort things out. You and I will come to an end where we don't have the answers in ourselves. That's when we need to go to the great sustainer, God Almighty, and say, I can't muster it up. It's not by my might. It's not by my determination. God, you need to sustain me here. And can I tell you what? God likes that kind of challenge. God likes that kind of challenge. It's called faith. And the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Have you ever been in a point in your life where you said, God, if you don't come through, if you don't bear me up, if you don't sustain me, I'm going to crash and burn? Anybody? Have you ever been to a point where you thought, I'm going to have to give up if you don't show up, God? I've been there before. God, if you don't come through, it's not going to look good. Back in 2005, some of you are smiling, you can relate to this. Back in 2005, God spoke to me and told me to go plant a leadership institute in the nation of Samoa. Helen, do you remember that? Yeah, and so we went over there. I was preaching in Samoa. A church invited us to come over there. It was the University of Western Samoa. They said, would you please come start your Every Nation Leadership Institute? And so I really felt like God wanted me to do it. Guess what? Whenever God tells you to do something, or when people invite you to come and start something, there's something you need to have in your back pocket called moolah. All right? Money. Cash. Guess what? We had none. All we had is a word from God. So guess what we did? We started flying into Apia from Auckland, New Zealand, and started setting up and getting organized and bringing in lecturers and printing notes and getting books and organizing rooms, renting rooms at the university. And we were getting students in there, and we were teaching them the Word of God and teaching them New Testament survey, teaching them church history, et cetera, and so forth. And can I tell you what? After a while, the plane bills and the cost of this institution started rising to the point of $50,000. You know what? When you look on the bill and you think there's $50,000 I got to pay, and you say, well, God told me. Yeah, where are you, God? You know, where'd you go, God? You know, and all of a sudden you start praying. And I just remember for about 3 months there, the pressure was getting tough, and it was me. I was the pastor. I was the director. I was the South Pacific director of ENLI, so I had to be responsible. I started this thing. Now I got to pay for it. You know, it's kind of like when you go shopping at the mall, you buy all these dresses and stuff, and then you get the bill at the end of the month, you know. You see the Visa card, the MasterCard, the American Express yourself. It's gone bad. You know, you think, wow. So all of a sudden, the money comes due at the end of the month, and it's to the tune of $50,000. That's a lot of money for me. And I just remember I had to pray and say, God, what are you going to do? And God talked to me. He said, it was my idea for you to go. I was the one that told you, guess what, I'll take care of the bill. How many know God can pay his bills? How many know God? In fact, God is so rich, he's lost more money behind his washing machine than you can count. Or in his sofa, down in the cushions, you know, where you check for the God's lost more money down there. He's got millions down there. And you know what? I remember just thinking, Lord, you're going to have to come through. And I just remember praying. And there's the temptation to get anxious, the temptation to try to do it in your own strength. And I remember I woke up one morning. We were looking at Fort Thomas Hunter there in Greenhithe. And I remember waking up early one morning, and I was just praying. And I said, God, you know, you got to come through. This money's got to come through. And I remember I checked my email, and you would never guess what happened. There was this guy in California. He said, Pastor Ken, God put you on my heart. He said, I knew you were doing some work in the islands there and starting some leadership institutes. He said, my wife and I felt impressed to give you a little offering. The little offering happened to be $70,000. And then he said, could you please send me your you never saw anybody type so fast. I put my bank details in there. Please send it now, you know. But all of a sudden, God showed me, said, that's how I do it. I sustain you. I can sustain you. See, in my own ability, I couldn't do it. In your own ability, you may not be able to do it, but God can do it. In fact, he's good at it. He holds all the atoms in the universe together by the word of his power. The reason we don't fly apart, the reason we don't cave in and just become black holes because of the gravitational pull of our matter is because God is on the throne and his word is true, and he tells these things to do what they should do, and they behave, and he sustains us the way we are. He's good at it. And he's saying here to the psalmist, he's saying, don't be afraid. I will sustain you. My right arm will strengthen you. The next one, Psalms 119, I love this. The psalmist says this, sustain me according to your promise. In other words, God, you said you'd sustain me. Now I'm keeping you to your promise. And then he says, because you'll sustain me, I will live. Do not let my hopes be dashed. You know what? For a man to pray, don't let my hopes be dashed, he has the propensity of having his hopes dashed. In other words, he's thinking his plans may crash and burn. His hopes may go awry. So his prayer is, God, sustain me so I can keep hoping in your word. You promised me this. I'm trusting you for that. Let me tell you what, God can sustain you. Just the way he can heal someone of cancer, ovarian cancer, just the way he can cause someone who can't have babies to have a baby, just the same way he can cause money to come from the other side of the planet into your bank account, God is well able to sustain you and I and to strengthen us. Amen. I know this is for somebody. My hopes will not be dashed. Isaiah 46:4 says this, even in your old age, in your gray hairs, I am he, says the Lord. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. What a wonderful promise. Notice what God says. Now that you're young, you think you can do it on your own. But when you get old, and you get a little more feeble, when you get gray hair, I'm going to sustain you. I made you. I love you. I care about you. I'm the one that will carry you. I like that. I like that, that we don't have anything to worry about, that we put our trust in the great sustainer of the universe. His name is Jesus. And as we do that, he'll take care of us, not when we're young, only when we're young and strong. He'll take care of us when we're old and gray. It's a great promise. What are the four ways in which God sustains you and I? How can God sustain you? How can God sustain me? Number one. One way he sustains us is through his word. He sustains us through his word. Number two, by his Holy Spirit. Number three, with his people. And number four, in partnership with his purpose. So how does God sustain us? These are the four ways you'll see in Scripture that God bears you and I up, that God provides for you and I, that God does something for you and I. Okay? The first one, through his word. You know, the Bible talks about the word of the Lord is enduring. The word of the Lord is like a great salve to our soul. That the word of the Lord is that which that can build us up, it can bear us up, and it can sustain us. Psalms 119:28 says this, my soul is weary and sorrow with sorrow. My soul is weary with sorrow. Let's stop right there. Anybody can relate to that? Anybody ever had your soul that was so weary and sorrow and you were just downtrodden and depressed and just wanted to give up? Anybody else? Come on, you can tell the truth in church. Yeah, I think most of us. Most of us have been that way, where we've looked at life, we've looked at circumstances, we've been weary, we've had sorrow, we've had adversarial obstacles, things in our life. Here's what David said. Strengthen me according to your word. Strengthen me according to your word. Can I tell you something? There's something about the word of God when it goes inside the human heart, not just the human head, but the human heart, that brings a supernatural strength, a supernatural sustenance. What did Jesus say? Listen to me. Look, everybody look at me right here, because you're going to learn something. What happened when Jesus was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, and the devil came to him, Satan came, and he tempted him and said, if you really are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread and go ahead and eat, because you know you need sustenance. Turn these stones into bread, and then you can survive. What did Jesus say to him? He said, man shall not live by natural sustenance alone, by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father. Wow. So did Jesus say we don't need to eat? No, he says, no. I've got my priorities right. I'm going to eat, devour the word of God before I devour natural food. Because if I think natural food is going to take me somewhere, I'm going to be really mistaken. In fact, I need to draw from the sustenance that's the word of God. You see? So he always fed on the word. Jesus fed on the word. He was always quoting the word. He was always using the word. He was always reading the word. You can tell if somebody's hungry. You know how you can tell if somebody's hungry? They're always eating. Anybody ever watch The Biggest Loser? I watch it sometimes. Yeah, I just feel sorry for those people. And sometimes I put on there, I'll put on the YouTube. When I'm bored, I'll go, you know, Britain's Fattest Man. I'll just put it on there and watch him. And I'm thinking, how did this guy get 900 pounds? I'm serious, there's a guy that's 900 pounds. You know what he did? He always eats, always. And guess what? You can't get 900 pounds by yourself. You have to have an enabler. You have to have somebody bringing you the food. And all these obese, morbidly obese people, guess what? They have someone who loves them so much, they keep feeding them. It's true. And psychologically, you got to get rid of the enabler that helps this person stay fat before they'll start losing weight. You see? And so when I watch this thing, I think, golly, these people, they have fixated on sustaining themselves through the natural things, and they are so incapacitated, they can't go anywhere. Would that we would not concentrate on the natural sustenance and concentrate on the spiritual sustenance. We would all be fat in the spirit. But most of us are emaciated in the spirit. We're fat in the natural, and we're emaciated in the spirit. It should be the other way around. We should be fat in the spiritual because we're feeding on the word. So through the word is what feeds me. The word is what gives me strength. The word is what causes me to go on. I love this. Job 23:12 says this. He says, I have not departed from the commands of your lips, your words. I have treasured the words of your mouth more than my necessary food. Wow. In other words, I know where my sustenance comes from. It's not just from natural food. In fact, I love your word. I love the words of your lips more than I love my necessary food. The natural sustenance that we all have to have, your word is more valuable, and I would rather feed on that than feed on the natural. And so if we'll read the word, if we'll read the Bible, you know why people don't read the Bible? That's a question. You know why people don't read the Bible? Do like this, like, I don't know. Why? Or, yeah, I know. Or, how many would like to know? All right. You know why people don't read the Bible? It's because they don't want the Bible to read them. You see, the Bible is like a mirror. When you start reading it, it begins to reflect what it beholds. How many know the mirrors are pretty honest? That when you look in the mirror, it tells you what's wrong? How many looked in the mirror this morning? Okay, you got the idea. You look in the mirror gives you a good reflection of what needs to change in your life. That's the way the Bible is. And the Bible is so powerful, you know, you just start reading it. And if this is true, that means I've got a lot of changing to do. This mirror reflects something that shows me I need to change. And so when I start reading the Bible and feeding on the word, all of a sudden something begins happening in my spirit. Something will begin happening in your spirit as you feed on this word, as you let this word grow in you. But through the word, we change. Through the word, we're sustained. Through God's word, we're able to be born up. We're able to finish the journey. Amen. So if you're tired and weary, you know, most people are not tired because they're physically tired. They're tired because their faith is weak, because they haven't been reading the word. They've been on Facebook. They've been on YouTube. They've been watching every DVD. They've been at South Bank. They've been, you know, to Sunshine Coast, the Gold Coast, the Pirates Coast, wherever coast. They've been everywhere, and they're exhausted. You don't need another amusement. You don't need another DVD. What you need is to get in the Bible and read the word. Amen. That will sustain you. Through the word. He said, I want it more than my necessary food. If you're hungry for God's word, like you'd be hungry for your next meal, you're in business. The second way God sustains us is through His Spirit, by His Holy Spirit. By His Holy Spirit. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. This is what we call metaphysical. This is supernatural. This is spiritual. It's not something you can weigh with hard sciences. This is something that happens when God touches and anoints your physical body, and there's a spiritual change in you that causes you to do something you couldn't do otherwise. And when God's Spirit comes on you, it causes you to really move in the supernatural. It causes you and I to do things that if we thought about it, we would talk ourselves out of. You see? And there have been times where the Holy Spirit has come on me and told me to do stuff that in my natural mind, I thought, I'm not going to do that. That's crazy. That is absolutely nuts. I'm not going to do it. For instance, one time I was in Kingston, Jamaica, leading a team at the university there, and we were preaching in this big hotel, Alex. And I remember there were a lot of these, it was packed. It was packed full of people. And I remember the Lord told me, He said, I want you to pray for everyone who's sick here. Anyone who's sick, anyone who has a disease, I want you to pray. And I thought, okay, I'll pray. And, you know, and my faith was like, if you've got a headache, come forward. If you have a hangnail or, you know, you stumped your toe, I'll pray for you. You know, I'll take those. Those are the easy ones. I'll take those. And then all of a sudden people started coming down. And the cases weren't just, I got a headache or, you know, there's a crick in my neck. Would you please pray and massage it a bit? It wasn't like that. It was, I've got cancer or I've got, this is happening. I've been deformed my whole life, you know. I'm thinking, oh, God. And this one person came down, these two twin girls come down with this guy. They come down. They said, this is our brother. Would you pray for him? And I looked at him. He looked normal. I thought, okay, keep the cripple guy over there. I don't know about him yet. Let me pray for this one. He looks pretty normal. Maybe he's got a headache. Maybe there's, you know, there's something wrong. I said, what's the problem? They said, he's a deaf mute. He's never spoken. And he can't hear. He can't speak. Okay. Yeah. I kind of back up. Oh, I'm thinking, Lord, you're going to have to come on strong here. You know, all these Jamaicans are looking at me like, here's the big evangelist from America. You know, here's the great white hope coming. And they're looking at me thinking, oh, yeah, God's going to show up. This guy's preached about God's power and how God can sustain us and God can do anything. Now let's see if his God can really do these things. And I remember I was so afraid. You know, when you're afraid as a minister, sometimes you'll look back and you'll just act like you're spiritual, like you're praying. But inside you say, God, help me get out of here. What's the nearest exit, you know? And that's what I was feeling. I was just feeling the pressure. But I just remember God said, son, I'm going to show up. And here's what God said. I said, God, if you don't do something, God, these people are going to, they're not going to believe you. You know what God spoke to me? He said, don't worry about my reputation. I can take care of myself. I said, oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, that's right. You're God. I forgot. You know, and he just said, I want you to pray for the person. So I just went up to him and I just said, Lord, you come on. And I just remember I started praying. And all of a sudden, he started looking up at me. And I looked at his sisters and I said, would you just say something in his ear? And they said something in his ear. And he looked over there and did that. And we said something in the other ear. And they started looking over there. And he could respond to the sound. All of a sudden, the crowd started standing up. People were coming down and listening and looking. And he was getting excited because he, for the first time in his life, he heard sounds. But he couldn't, because he wasn't familiar with sounds, he couldn't verbalize them, so he couldn't speak. So he was really excited. His sisters are crying, and they're standing there. And now I'm feeling real good. You know, okay, God, hallelujah, you've shown up. You know, praise the Lord. I said, that's only half a miracle. We're going to pray for God to loosen his tongue, let him speak. And I remember just the presence of God. The Spirit of God was so strong in that meeting. But I remember what God told me. He said, son, stop. He said, I don't want you to get any of the credit. He says, I'm going to take the credit because I'm the one doing the healing. I said, yeah, yes, sir, you are. And he said, here's what I want you to do. He says, remember the story in the Bible where the blind man came to Jesus and Jesus spat in the dirt and made little mud pies and put it in the man's eye. He says, here's what I want you to do in front of all these people that think you're a dignified American minister. I want you to touch the tip of your tongue and touch this person's tongue with that saliva. And if you do it, I'm going to heal him. If you don't, I won't. You know what? I just said, God, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to gross these people out by putting my spit on that person's tongue. No way. I'm a dignified minister. What? And God said, I want you to do it. And after about, seemed like 10 minutes of deliberation, it was probably more like 1 minute, I just said, okay. And I said, put your tongue out, and just motioned for this young man to put his tongue out. And I touched my tongue and touched the tip of his tongue, and instantly, ma, started saying, ma, never had uttered a word out of their mouth. That whole place went nuts. Can I tell you what? The next night, we didn't have enough room. They were bringing people in wheelchairs, people with cancer, people with tumors on their body. Why? They saw the power of God. Why? Because the Spirit of God, when it comes on someone, it can sustain you. It's not my clever speaking. It's not how anointed I am. It's when the Spirit of God comes on us. And the Spirit of God all throughout Scripture came on his people. In Judges, I love this. Samson, the great hero in Judges. It says, when Samson came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted as they met him, and the Spirit of the Lord came on him mightily. The Spirit of the Lord came on him mightily, so that the ropes that they tied on his arms turned to be like flax that is burned with fire, and his bonds dropped off his hands. He broke them, snapped them like they were nothing. He found a fresh jawbone of a donkey. So he reached out and took it, and he killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of the ass. Then Samson said, with the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of a donkey, I have killed 1,000 Philistines. What happened? The Spirit of God came on him. The Holy Spirit came on him. Let me tell you something, folks. In our own natural strength, in our own natural ability, we can't do anything. But when God's Spirit comes on you, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, there's a supernatural sustaining that comes. The sustenance of his Spirit will come upon you when that happens. Zechariah 4:6 says this. It's on the overhead. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Holy Spirit. Look at me. The way God is going to touch Brisbane, Australia, the way God is going to touch the University of Queensland, is not by us having a slick advertising campaign and all the great praise and worship and all the wonderful administrative systems going. Those things help, but it's going to be by his Spirit. He's going to come on people like you and like me, and we're going to do things that people are going to look and say, there is a God, and I want to know that God. And that's how God will sustain us. He does it by his word, and he also does it by his Spirit. Luke 1:35, I love this. This is Mary, the Virgin Mary. When the angel comes to her, and she's a virgin, she's never known a man, and the angel says, you're going to have a baby. She looks at the angel and says, how is that possible? I'm a virgin. I've never known a man. This is biologically impossible. What did the angel say? The angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for this reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. In other words, when my Spirit comes on you, little girl, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, it won't matter about anything in the natural. There'll be a supernatural thing that you'll have to reckon with, and this thing is going to happen to you. And what did she say? Let it be done to me according to my faith. Yes. Let the Spirit come. So God sustains us by his Spirit. He causes supernatural things to happen by the Spirit of the living God. You may be sitting here and say, well, I'm not sure I believe in miracles. Well, I'm sorry, you're too late. They happen. In fact, you are probably the biggest miracle you'll ever see if you're a Christian. The fact that God could save you. In fact, we'll be talking about the worldview seminar, and people talk about, well, how can a loving God send people to hell? That's a good question, but it's not a real good question because there's a better question. How can a holy God accept anybody in heaven? That's the real question. How can a truly holy, pure God accept me or accept you, people who are not holy, people who have made mistakes, people who have sinned? That's the real question that demands an answer. And the fact that we are redeemed is the greatest miracle. The fact that God can forgive us and put us in his presence is itself a miracle. But I can tell you this, we've seen tons of miracles happen. We've seen cancers be healed. We've seen people who were infertile, babies, and people who could not have children, God give them children. We've seen it time and time again. In fact, I was in Auckland a month ago, and I forgot about this, Helen. This person came up to me, and I think they were a Filipino. They said, "This is little so-and-so." I said, "Who's that?" They said, that's our baby that you prayed for that we couldn't have. Now we have." She goes, "Yeah, I'm infertile. I have endometriosis. No hope." And she's showing me this little baby. I'm thinking, isn't God good? Isn't God good? 11 years trying? And all of a sudden it happens after somebody prays for you? The Spirit of God will come upon you. You shall be with child. You'll be overshadowed by the Spirit of God. So God, he sustains us by his word. He sustains us by his Holy Spirit. Number three, he sustains us with his people. With his people. You know why you and I need to be a part of a spiritual family? It's because we need encouragement. How many of you like encouragement? The rest of you are liars. How many of you really like encouragement? Raise your hand. Everyone should raise your hand. You love encouragement. When someone comes up to you and says, "Oh, that's a wonderful dress. You look so good in that jewelry," or "You look great. That's a nice suit you're having," or "You know, I really enjoy your company." All of a sudden, it makes us feel good. Why? Because we're being encouraged. God brings people in our life not just so we can be crowded on the same bus or in the same jeepney if you're from the Philippines, or in the same, you know, train if you're trying to get to the airport here in Brisbane. He doesn't do it just to make it uncomfortable. He does it because he wants to help sustain you. Sustain me. That's why it says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves in church, which is the habit of some, so you can encourage one another. The reason I come to church is to get encouraged. And the reason I come to church is to encourage. Hopefully you're being encouraged today. But that should be my motivation. That should be your motivation. And it's hard to get encouragement when you're looking at a TV and when you're by yourself in a flat somewhere. It's always good to be encouraged by people that have flesh and bones, and they are alive, and they actually are sincere with their compliments and encouragements. He does it through people. Isaiah 54 says this, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of a disciple that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word." Wow. God, the prophet is saying, God, you've helped me become a disciple, and with one word I can sustain another person who's weary, another person who needs sustenance, another person who needs bearing up. With a word from another person, you will cause me to encourage that person and bring sustenance. How many here have ever received a word that just lifted your spirit from another person? Yeah, we all have. Let me tell you, you need that. I need that. That's why it's always good. One of the life skills you and I need to learn is always to be positive around people. No matter how bad the person is, there's something good you can say about them. You see? There's something good you can say about them. And it's amazing what encouragement does. People respond to encouragement. People respond to words of life. It brings life to us. But he says, I have the tongue of a disciple, and with a word I can speak and I can sustain people with my word, a word to the weary. He goes on to say, he awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ears to listen as a disciple. Why? I'm listening for words so I can encourage people. Acts 14:22. In fact, during praise and worship, I've had a few people come up to me and say, "Well, how do you get these prophetic words, Pastor Ken?" During praise and worship, I say, God, speak to me to give somebody a word of encouragement, a prophetic word. My friend Kyle's just here. the other week, it was last week, I think it was, God, I said, Nelly was preaching, who did a great job, and I said, God, I want to encourage somebody. He said, I want you to give a word to Kyle and to Danica. There's Danica right there. Now, I don't know Danica, I just barely know Kyle, but God knows them. And I pulled them aside, and I gave them a word, and they both looked at me and said, wow, that is so encouraging. So I'm listening, God. Tell me something that will encourage somebody. Tell me something that will bring sustenance to their soul. Tell me something that will lift them up. Not just, oh, that's a nice dress, or I like your lipstick, or you have split ends. I don't want to tell, I don't want to just say something trivial just to be having, you understand what I'm saying? I want to say something that really has spiritual impetus and sustenance to it. Amen. That really, I really mean something by it. And the Lord's already told me there's a couple in here I want to prophesy over to bring sustenance to. I'm listening. I wake up and go, God, what do you want me to? In fact, God told me to speak this word last Wednesday, right before I'm going to get my surgery. He said, I want you to talk about sustaining people. People need sustenance. They need to be sustained. They need to learn how to sustain themselves through the word. They need to learn how the Holy Spirit can sustain them. They need to learn how people, their brothers and sisters, bring sustenance to them. And how my purposes will sustain them. They'll be sustained in the purposes of God. So you may not like people. Look at me. You need people. You got to have people. Why? Because people have made it to the point where God has so constructed his body, his church, that you need people. You may not like them. You may not agree with them. But they will help you and they're going to sustain you. How many ever got up in the morning and said, I hate my left arm. I don't need my left arm. My left arm is not a right arm. I wish it was a right arm. It's a left arm. Or I wish my nose was gone. You know, you may have a big nose, but you look better with it than without it. You know, or I wish one of my ears had disappeared, or you know, why do I look this way, or why is this part? You know, you may not have the body you want. That's not God's fault. That's you and KFC. But don't blame God. You do have everything you need, and no one ever complains about having a left hand or a left foot, something that seems insignificant. Can I tell you, we need it. We need it. You see? So you need your brothers and sisters. You need people in your life that will encourage you and say a word of encouragement to you and pray for you and stand with you. I love what Easter said. Spiritual family are the people who stand with us when we have needs. And we all have needs from time to time. Amen? I want you to nudge your neighbor and say, he's preaching to you. I hope you're listening. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ears to listen as a disciple. Amazing. When I was in Auckland, New Zealand, we're planning the church there. God told me, he said, there's this tall guy that's going to walk by you today when you're going to a prayer meeting. I want you to look at him and say, God has a call on your life. I'm walking on campus. I'm going to a prayer meeting years ago. This tall guy walks by, about 6'6". He was real skinny. I mean, he could hide under a clothesline under a rainstorm and not get wet. That's how skinny he was. And he was there. And I remember I looked at him and I said, what's your name? I said, God has a call on your life. He's going to touch your life. Wasn't long before he came to a prayer meeting, got saved, got down on his knees, started weeping and crying. What? I'm listening, God. Now, could God save that person without me speaking? Absolutely. But God uses people. He uses people. In fact, you're here because someone invited you here. You're here because someone cared enough about your soul to say, why don't you come on to this church, this every nation, this all-world church that we got over here happening. And it's kind of fun. It's kind of neat. And they're preaching the Bible. And come, all of a sudden, somebody cares. They're interested in your soul. They want to encourage you. They want to bring sustenance to your life. People. God will use people, his people, to do it. I love what it says, Acts 14:22. It's on the overhead. The Apostle Paul He went about strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith and saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Wow, can't God send an angel to say that to? Of course. But he sent a man. Can't God give you a prophecy? Can't he write it in the sky with his finger like they do with the planes, you know, with the white exhaust? Yeah, he could do that. I love you. You know, God could do that, but he sends people, you know. He sends people to come and talk to us and speak to us. So he brings sustenance through people. Much of what you need looks like another person. Much of what you've been praying for, you may not think it's a person, but it's coming in the form of a person. Number four, he brings sustenance in partnership with his purpose. I love this. That God has a purpose for us. And many times it's in the purpose. It's in the running after the goal. It's in the doing what God's called you and I to do that we find our fulfillment and we find our purpose. Anybody here ever run long distance? Anyone? Okay, yeah. We've got a triathlete over here. He's a long distance runner. In fact, he ran all the way from Oklahoma here. He's from Tulsa, Oklahoma, Enos, Oklahoma. And Brett is a long-distance runner. And you ask any long-distance runner, any triathlete, they will tell you there comes a point where you hit the wall. Have you heard that term, hit the wall? It's not a literal wall. It's a figurative wall. But physically, it is like a literal wall because it's like you can't pick your feet up anymore, your energy is gone, and you can't make it. It's like you're going to quit. They say if people can get past that hitting the wall, that they get their second wind, and they're able to finish the race. I'm sure Brett, as an athlete, has come up against that phenomenon, hitting the wall, and has overcome it. Many times we hit the wall in our own walk with God. We hit the wall in our own purposes. We hit the wall in our own, what we're trying to do in our own life. And it seems like I can't put one more step in front of the other. It seems useless. I'm tired. I'm weary. It's like I'm making no progress. I just want to give up. Can I tell you something? Don't give up. Because it is the goal. It is the purpose. It is the finish line that causes runners to go beyond the wall and not hit the wall. It is also for you and I as Christians the goal, the purpose, the destiny that causes me and you to take one more step and say, it's hard, I'm tired, it would be easier to give up. But because of the goal line, because of the purpose, because of the ultimate achievement I know God put me here for, I'm going to pick my foot up, I'm going to take another step. And before long, you get over the hump, you get beyond the hitting the wall, you get your second win, and what made you do it? The fact that you had a purpose. The fact that you had a finish line. I just encourage you guys. That's why most people don't do much in life. That's why most people don't gain sustenance from purpose because they don't have a purpose. They're just living. They're just floating around. They have no purpose. They have no destiny. They have no finish line. They have no goal. They're just existing. That's not much of a life, is it? It's not much of a life. There's a poem, it goes like this. There was a very cautious man. He never laughed or played. He never lived. He never tried. He never sang or prayed. And then one day, he passed away. And his insurance was denied. They said, for since he never really lived, they claimed he never died. See, what are you living for? What am I living for? Is there a goal? Is there a purpose? Is there a finish line? Can I tell you what? For every goal, for every finish line, can I tell you what? God puts it in there to bring you sustenance. I can do it. I'm going to finish the race. I'm going to achieve the goal. By your Spirit, by your Word, by your people, and by the purposes that you have in my life, I'm going to do it, God. Look at what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to his purposes. God causes all things, say all things, That means all things. All things to work together for good for those who love God and those who are called according to his what? Purposes. So God has a purpose for you. God has a purpose for me. And if we will stay in his purpose, guess what? He will sustain us in the purpose and cause us to achieve the purpose. And the purpose itself, having it, will be sustenance to us. How many of you know you need a reason to get out of bed in the morning? You do. You need to have a goal in life. Some of you need, we need to help you with a reason to get out of bed. You need to have a reason. What causes you to jump out of bed and say, man, I can't wait to tackle life. I can't wait to live. I can't wait to do this. You see? You need to be like a kid on Christmas morning. All the gifts are under the Christmas tree. You need to have that kind of, if you have a purpose, can I tell you what? It will be your sustenance. It will undergird you. It will cause you to want to achieve. It will cause you to want to fulfill that purpose, and you will get the sustenance from God. So what have I said here today? I said God is our sustenance. He upholds all things in the universe by the word of his power, and that God says that he will sustain you and I. He sustains us in four ways. Through his word, by his Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes on us, with his people, and in concert or in partnership with his purpose. That if you're looking for sustenance, if you're weary, if you're tired, if you've exhausted everything, can I tell you what? One of these four things is what you need today, is what I need today, so God can encourage us and sustain us so we can endure and not falter and not lose hope and not give up. Amen? I want you to bow your heads. We're going to pray. Lord, I thank you for this word. I thank you that you are our sustaining power. Because of who you are, God, and what you've done, if you can hold the universe together, if you can sustain the elements of all the matter in this cosmos, how much more can you sustain us, God? Lord, I pray that every heart, every person in here who perhaps may be going through something, may feel as though they're weary or tired or hitting the wall, that, Father, you would sustain them, that you would, by your Holy Spirit, you would touch them. But, Lord, they'd also get in your word. They'd begin devouring your word. They'd be hungry for that sustenance, not just physical food, but spiritual food. And, Lord, I pray they'd get around people who would be able to speak the word of God to them and encourage them and help them. And, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit, even as it came on, the apostles, and it came on Mary, and she said, how can this happen, God? He says, the Holy Spirit's going to come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. I just pray the Holy Spirit would come on us, and your power would overshadow us. And that, God, we'd be pregnant with purpose. That, Lord, there's something about purpose that sustains us. There's something about having a reason to get up, a reason to live, a reason to show up that sustains us. It gives us hope. It gives us energy. Lord, I pray that we would have that today as your people. With your heads down, your eyes closed, if you're here today and you say, Pastor Ken, I've needed spiritual sustenance. I've needed to be sustained other than physical food and other than what I've done. And I just this word was for me, and I need you to pray for me, if you would please. Just pray that I be sustained by the Spirit of God and by his word and by his people and by his purpose. If that's your prayer, just lift your hand up high. And I just want to pray for you. Yes. Yes. Father, I thank you for all these hands that are raised, that every one of these people, that you would encourage them, God. Encourage them by your word. Encourage them by your Holy Spirit coming alongside of them. Father, I pray that you would encourage them by other people, even sitting in this room, that they would feel the encouragement and the sustenance of the Holy Spirit coming through another person. And Lord, you would encourage them by destiny. Let everybody in here have a sense of your purpose, a sense of your word. And Father, I thank you for that. I give you praise for that. We thank you, Lord, that you would be our sustainer. With a word, you would sustain us and we would sustain others. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Anybody feel encouraged? All right, I want you to take a minute. I want you to just look at your notes or something that happened today and talk to the person next to you and say, wow, this sustained me. This helped me. This encouraged me. This really got me going. Take a moment and do that and preach to the person next to you.
This podcast has been brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. Thank you for listening. God bless.